This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are on the story of Musa عليه السلام and Fir'aun, and as I told you, this is one of the most beautiful stories of the Quran, and it is so full of wisdom and so full of learning that at least for me it is impossible to do justice to that story. I shall try to do my best and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me to do my best and to enable that to be a means of khair and guidance and benefit for all of us, inshallah. One of the most important things in this story, and the reason why it's important, is because, as I mentioned earlier, and this is from the hadith of Rasulullah, he said that you are the, which is the meaning of the hadith, and that is that we are, Muslims are the inheritors of the Bani Israel, of the people who were the Ummah of Musa alayhi salam, because Musa alayhi salam came with a book, he came with a Sharia. Isa alayhi salam followed his Sharia, and then Rasulullah came with the final Sharia, the final book of laws from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the similarities between Musa alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam are far more than the similarities between Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. For example, both Musa alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam were born, they had parents, they had both parents, they had a mother and a father. They grew up, they went through all kinds of hardships. They married, they had children. They fought in battles for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they both died. Whereas for Isa alayhi salam, practically none of this applies to him. Isa alayhi salam was born as a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had no father. Isa alayhi salam grew up and he didn't fight battles and all of that. Obviously, he did not get married. He had no children and he did not die. He was lifted alive by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why he will return before the Day of Judgment. And that is one of the major signs of Day of Judgment, the return of Isa alayhi salam. And he will proclaim the true religion, which is the religion that he brought, and the religion that Musa alayhi salam brought, and the reason that, and the religion that Ibrahim alayhi salam brought, and the religion that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam brought, and that religion is al-Islam, which is the worship of no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, sustainer, maintainer, and owner. And not joining anybody as partner with him, because he has no partners. He has no sons and daughters, he has no father and mother, he is not like anything in creation, including ourselves. Human beings are not created in his image, they are created in the image of themselves, like everything else. And this is the religion that was brought by all the Anbiya alayhi salam. I named only four: Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But every Nabi, every Rasul brought the same religion, which is La ilaha illallah. For us it is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now, it's very important, therefore, the story of Musa alayhi salam, because Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him and his people to go through all kinds of situations in life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that story because so that we can learn how to behave and what works and what doesn't work when we go through these stages in life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the signs that he sent to the people of Fir'aun. Now remember, this is a thing which we are right now, we are living through that. This COVID is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's a sign for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only for somebody who has the eyes to see, who has the ibrat, who can take ibrat from what is happening. And one of the big ways in which we get fooled is through science. is through knowledge. There's nothing wrong with science. Science is absolutely critical, essential. Science is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no separate source for knowledge of scientific information. So when our Muslim scholars and some people, when they try to throw science under the bus and they say that this is the knowledge of kufar and so on, that's absolute and total complete bunkum and rubbish. All knowledge is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The issue is to use the right knowledge in the right place, right? The knowledge of engineering is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so is the knowledge of medicine. But when a doctor is performing heart surgery, he is not using engineering there. He's using his knowledge of medicine, his knowledge of human physiology, right? So if somebody says, you know, this is a shaitani knowledge, which is engineering, and because it cannot help you to perform a heart surgery, we would say, you're mad, you're crazy, because it has nothing to do with heart surgery. It's not shaitani in everything. All knowledge is from Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. The issue is to use it in the right place, right? If you take some knowledge which is not relevant to the situation, then obviously it won't work. It doesn't mean the knowledge is wrong. It means that you are applying it in the wrong place. And that's why I request you, please keep this in mind. Science is very important. But if you are going to try to use science to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are going to get completely and totally misguided. See what happened with this in the case of Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا عَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ وَنَقُصٍ مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ فَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْحَسَنَةُ قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِهِ وَإِنْ تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَتَّيَّرُوا بِمُوسَى وَمَنْ مَعَهُ أَلَا إِنَّمَا طَائِرُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وقالوا مهما تأتنا به من آية لتسحرنا بها فما نحن لك بمؤمنين فأرسلنا عليهم الطوفان والجراد والقمل والضفادع والدم آيات مفصلات فاستكبروا وكانوا قوما مجرمين ولما وقع عليهم الرجز قالوا يا موسى ادع لنا ربك بما عهد عندك لئن كشفت عنا الرجز لنؤمنن لك ولنرسلن معك بني إسرائيل فلما كشفنا عنهم الرجز إلى أجل هم بالغوه إذا هم ينكثون فانتقمنا منهم فأغرقناهم في اليم بأنهم كذبوا بآياتنا وكانوا عنها غافلين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and indeed we punished the people of Fir'aun with years of drought. Now, I want you to understand another thing. We are always in a hurry. And I don't blame us. I don't blame anyone who's in a hurry. I'm just saying, let us try to understand the time perspective of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. We will be in a hurry because we are suffering. We are pain. There's pain. You don't say, well, no, I don't care. Let this pain go on as long as it wants, as long as it eventually goes away, that is enough. No, you say, well, I want it. I want to get out of this pain. Like when? Like now? Like yesterday, right? So for the human being to be in a hurry to get out of difficulty is perfectly understandable. But that is the reason why we have the knowledge of Islam, which teaches us to bear it with patience. It doesn't mean don't make dua for relief. Of course, make dua for relief. What else? You won't make dua for more trouble. You make dua for relief. But you make this dua with the understanding that Alhamdulillah, there is no one more merciful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets no pleasure out of giving us difficulties. So if there is a difficulty and the difficulty is not going away, even though I'm making dua, what must I do? I must look back in my life and look at why that difficulty happened. Not how it is happening. Why and how. I want you to keep these two words in mind. Inshallah, today or tomorrow or the next lesson, we will talk about that. Why it happened, not how it happens. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so here Allah said, we punish them with drought for years. How many years? I don't know. Right? I don't know. Obviously, it was within the lifetime of Musa alayhi salam, so it wasn't 200 years because he didn't live that long. But the point is that it was several years, right? It was not even 2 years, because in Arabic there is a separate word for ithnain, for two, and here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not use that. So therefore, and indeed we punished the people of Firaun with years of drought and shortness of fruit, meaning that they either had drought, so then nothing happened, or their crops failed. So what the crop which was supposed to be produced, that crop was much less. The shortness of fruits, that they might remember and take heed. Think about this. Why do we fast? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that we become muttaqoon. The purpose of fasting is what? To bring about taqwa. And that is why we have to understand the purpose of difficulties is to bring about taqwa. The purpose of difficulties is to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make tawbah and istighfar. And similarly here, it is not fasting, but I am using the example of fasting to illustrate this. Fasting is difficulty, so is this. But here, it's coming also as a punishment, but the purpose of that. See, if a child extends his hand towards the fire, the mother may tell the child, don't do that, you will get burned. He does it again, she slaps him on the wrist, right? She doesn't break his hand, she doesn't take a chopper and chop it off. No, she slaps him on the wrist. Now, the child will cry because it hurts. But what is the purpose? Why did the mother slap the child on the wrist? Was it because she is a sadistic woman and she wants to see this child suffer, so she gives him this pain? No. She is doing that to save the child from a much worse pain. Because if she did not slap him on the wrist, as a result of which he withdraws his hand and saves himself from the fire, if the mother did not do that, then the child would put his hand in the fire and then he will get burnt. And it's a no-brainer to ask this question and say, which hurts more? Right? Now, therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending difficulties and sending tests on us, Allah sent us today, as I speak, Allah sent us on us a test and a difficulty called COVID-19, which has a mortality rate of 1.5%, which means that 99% of people, or 98.5% of people who get COVID-19 will survive. But even though it has a fatality rate of 1.5%, you find that we are in a panic. That we are in a complete panic, because obviously 1.5% sounds like a small number, but in absolute terms, in terms of the number of people, right, who are affected, it's a lot of people. I mean, as I speak today, as on today, there are the global statistics, and of course the global statistics have to be taken with a handful of salt, because there are many countries who are not even reporting the correct statistics, not because they are those countries are full of dishonest people, but because they don't even have the means of measuring it. So they don't even know how many people are actually dying of COVID or what's happening. So despite that, from whatever measurement data is being done, we know that as I speak today to you on the 10th of or the 11th of August, over 4.5 million people have died in the world because of COVID. Right? Now, the point is not the number. The point is that here is this test. Now, what are we focused on? We are focused on how can we cure this? How can we get out of this? How many people are asking, why did this happen? And when you say, why did this happen? How many people are answering that saying, because people were eating bats in China? Is that why it happened, or is that how it happened? Again, keep the thought in your mind. Why and how? What is Allah saying? If you talk to the people of Firaun at the time they were having these droughts, if you talk to their agricultural scientists, for example, what would they say? You ask them, how come there is a drought? What would they say? They would say, you know, that there is not enough rainfall, the Nile dried up, maybe our irrigation system is faulty, so on. You ask them, why are crops failing? Oh, there's not enough moisture. What? Are they answering the question why or are they answering the question how? How does the drought happen? Because there is no rain. Why does the drought happen? Some other answer. If I ask you, for example, sitting here in the masjid, if I ask you this question, here meaning I'm not in the masjid right now, I'm saying if you're sitting in the masjid, if you ask this question and say, brother, how did you come here? He say, I drove here. Okay. Why did you come here? He says, I drove here. No, I'm not asking you. I already asked you, how did you come here? You say you drove here. I'm asking you, why did you come here? Oh, I drove here. You say, man, you're crazy. I'm asking you, how did you come here? And I'm asking you, why did you come here? You're giving me the same answer for both the questions. How is it possible? How did you come here? I drove. Why did you come here? To pray Salatul Isha. Yes or no? So if I ask you, why did you come here? You say, I came to pray Salatul Isha. How did you come here? I came to pray Salatul Isha. Both are wrong, right? Why is a different question which looks at a different thing, and how is a different question which looks at a different thing. How looks at the method. How does something happen? How did you come here? I drove. Why does not look at the method. Why looks at the reason. Why did you come here? Why did you drive to come to the masjid? Why? To pray Salatul Isha. You get my point? And it is not semantic. This is the reason why in nation after nation, if you read the Quran, the question obviously comes to you that all of these nations which were destroyed, whether it was Ad, whether it was Thamud, whether it was the people of Hud alayhi salam, whether it was the people of Saleh alayhi salam, whether it was the people of Musa alayhi salam, the people of Fir'aun. We are talking about civilizations, we are talking about countries, we are talking about nations which were highly successful. Now they didn't become successful by being stupid. They didn't get all their wealth and they created this, they built these enormous monuments and they built these fantastic buildings in caves. I mean, think about this, a few thousand years later, today we go there with our jaws dropped open, marveling at the size and the complexity of the pyramids. So do you think the people who built the pyramids were stupid people? They were dumb people, they were ignorant people, they knew nothing. They knew everything. They were highly intelligent people. They were people with technology which even today we don't have. They were people with an understanding of the universe, with an understanding of the forces of nature that even today we don't have. The way the pyramids and so on are aligned, the way it is done, believe me, even today if you look at it and go, I mean, YouTube is, and Google is the repository of all information. Go check out. There is no way that people could have built those things. Today, if you think about it, you say, the only way I can understand this is if I have satellite photography. If I have drone photography, if I have satellite positioning to know how to align this building. And you're not talking about aligning a building and say, I got this wrong, okay, now move it. No. The thing is so big, it's like a mountain. It's visible from space. People didn't get that, didn't build those things because they were stupid. So then you have to ask the question, if they were really so intelligent, how come they did not see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How come they did not recognize what was happening to them when they were getting these droughts and when they were getting and I'll come to those, I mean, I decided the ayat, but we'll look at the meaning of it. When you come to the other test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on them test after test after test. Yet, they did not understand what was happening. Now today we are looking at COVID. Do we understand what's happening? Or are we too busy saying, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, wash your hand, don't wash your hand, turn on the AC, turn off the AC, right? The people who are hooked onto COVID, let me ask you a question directly to your face. You are hooked onto COVID, you are looking at those COVID videos, you are looking at the COVID numbers day in and day out, and you are freaking out, and you are freaking out everybody else around you. Do you ask this question, why is this happening? What can I as an individual do to impact this positively, to take away this? Are you asking this question? And if you're not asking this question, why are you destroying yourself, your own happiness and the happiness of others? The finest way, the best way, the fastest way to destroy your happiness, to destroy your peace of mind, is to hook your happiness and peace of mind to a metric that you do not control and look at it all day. I read this on my Twitter feed one day, and whoever said this thing is a genius. He said the best and fastest way of destroying your happiness and peace of mind is to hook your happiness and peace of mind to a metric that you do not control and look at it all day. What's the metric we are using here? How many people are dying of COVID? How many positive cases? Do you control that? No. Can you control that? No. Now you hook your happiness to that, and you want to look at it all day and watch videos about that and listen to all kinds of conspiracy theories, but you won't get vaccinated. What you can do, you won't do. What is not in your control, you want to hook your happiness to that and you want to freak out. I mean, imagine, nothing changes. I mean, the pyramids were built, God knows, 3,000 years ago. In 3,000 years, human stupidity hasn't changed. We are just as stupid as those people were, even though we have knowledge like they had. Please don't fool yourself and think that we have the most knowledge. No. The people before us had a hell of a lot more knowledge than we had. They had a different kind of knowledge. We have a different kind of knowledge. The Egyptians were phenomenal people. I mean, they had knowledge like you won't believe. And we know this. I mean, this is not somebody's imagination. This is not mythology. We know this from what they left behind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us now what happened. He says that we punished them with years of drought and shortness of fruits, that they may remember and take heed. They may ask, why is it happening? Not think about how it is happening. And then Allah says, but whenever good came to them, they said, this is ours. And if evil afflicted them, they said, these are evil omens connected with Musa alayhi salam and those with him. Allah said, be informed. Verily, their evil omens are with Allah, and most of them do not know. And then they said to Musa alayhi salam, whatever ayats, whatever proof and signs and revelation you may bring to us, to work therewith your sorcery, your magic on us, we will never believe in you. So when Musa alayhi salam is showing them the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they call it magic. And they say, we don't care. Now imagine, here is an issue which we need to ask ourselves this question. One is, you don't believe because you don't understand. Which means what? Which means that if somebody can convince you, can give you evidence, then you will believe. Logical progression of that argument. But there's another thing which says that even though you understand, you will not believe no matter what happens. And this was the state of Abu Jahl, for example. Somebody asked him, really tell me, do you really believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a Nabi? He said, no, he is a Nabi. I believe he is a Nabi. Then why don't you believe in him? Why don't you accept Islam? He said, because the rivalry between our two clans, we've always tried to be better than them, but now they have a Nabi. Now how can we be better than them? Now they've got that's a trump card, right? They have the Nabi. So we refuse to accept. We refuse to accept that this Nabi, that he's a Nabi. Even though we know he's a Nabi, but we will not accept. Now, my brothers and sisters, there's no cure to that. If you will not recognize the truth, if you deliberately say that you will deny the truth, then nobody in the world can help you, because the best that anybody can do is to produce the truth for you. And this is what the Anbiya alayhi salam did. They brought the truth, they presented it, Now it's up to you. If you still don't want to believe it, may Allah help you, because nobody else will. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and then when they did this, they refused to believe. Allah said, so we sent on them, now Allah is sending them test after test. We sent on them the flood, right? The Nile flooded, the locusts, lice, frogs, and blood. Now imagine, you can say what you want about a flood and say, oh, well, natural calamity, locusts, well, locusts happen. And a lot of that happens in Africa, and Egypt is part of Africa. Lice, well, you know, people were not clean enough. What do you say about frogs? You had millions and zillions of frogs which came out of the Nile and out of all the rivers and waters, and they infested those people. I mean, in their water, everywhere they had frogs, and eventually blood. Can you believe this? Now, where did the blood come from? The point is, if you want to deny, there is nothing to stop. Nothing can help you. Nobody can help you. Human beings, and you know this is true for us. I mean, imagine the people who are in denial. For example, people who are suffering from psychological problems, from psychiatric problems, people who are bipolar, people who are schizophrenic. One of the biggest problems is for them to accept that they have a problem. People who are in depression, the people who are in despair, the biggest problem is to get them to accept that there is a problem. People whose marriages are falling apart, they refuse to accept that I have a problem. The reason this marriage is falling apart is not always somebody else's problem. I am part of that problem. In negotiating, in arbitrations, I mean, I do arbitrations as part of my professional consulting practice. One of the biggest problems is to get people to accept the fact that they are a part of the problem. But that is the great reliever. That is the great strength. That is the great enabler. The moment you accept, yes, we have a problem. Yes, I am that problem, or I am a part of that problem. Immediately the doors for solutions open. But if you always want to export the blame and say, no, it's not my problem, it's somebody else's problem, then there is no cure. Remember, when you accept the problem as your own, you are given the strength to solve it. But when you don't want to touch the problem, when you say the problem is somebody else's, then you cannot get the strength to solve that. But it's not your problem. It's somebody else's problem. Actually, it is yours, but this is what you're trying to convince yourself and convince others. And that's what the people of Pharaoh did. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we sent on them all of these things, yet they remained arrogant, and they were mujrimun. They were criminals. And then when the punishment fell on them, they would do this. When the punishment fell on them, they would say, oh Musa, make dua to your Rabb because of his promise to you. If you will remove the punishment from us, indeed we will believe in you and we will let the Bani Israel go with you. So this was a game that they played. Every time they had a problem, think about this. Why are they going to Musa alayhi salam? The very fact that they are going to Musa alayhi salam to say, make dua to your Rabb, what does it show? It shows that they believe that Musa alayhi salam is a prophet. They believe that he is a Rasul. They believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only can help them. Why don't they go and pray in their temples or whatever they were doing? No, they don't. They know this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can help them. They know that they are not doing what they should be doing. So let's go to the good man who is the best of them, is the Nabi. So they go to him and they say, please make dua and tell your Rabb. And they also know why this is happening. See, look at this. See how Shaitan blinds you. They are saying, tell your Rabb to take this away and we will let the people of Bani Israel go. So they know why it's happening. It's happening because we are oppressing these people. It is happening because we have enslaved these people. These are free people, like they're human beings like us, but we treat them like dogs, we treat them like animals, and we have enslaved them. And this is the problem. This is why the punishment is happening. So we go to Musa alayhi salam, please make dua to your Rabb, remove this punishment, and we will let the people go. But when that happens, they go back to their old thing. When the punishment is lifted, they do not fulfill their part of the bargain. What does that tell you? Are you looking at people who don't know, or are you looking at people who are
adamant and will not do. Right? This is the problem. If you are somebody who does not know, then knowledge will open your eyes. But if you are somebody who is adamant on whatever you have, then knowledge is not the issue. The issue is your adamancy. So here they said, when Allah said, when the punishment fell on them, they said, "Oh Musa, invoke your Rabb. Make dua to your Rabb for us because of his promise to you. If you will remove the punishment from us, we indeed will believe in you and we will let the children of Israel, the Bani Israel, go with you. But when we removed the punishment," Allah is saying, "when we removed the punishment from them to a fixed term which they had to reach, behold, they broke their word." The punishment, they make dua, and when you make dua, they remove it. So Allah said, so we took retribution from them. We drowned them in the sea because they belied and denied our ayats and were heedless about them. Now, brothers and sisters, the importance of the ability to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in Urdu we say, ibrat ki nazar, in whatever happens. Otherwise, we continue to sin and we do not change our lives. We won't do that. Now, this is the point that I wanted to make, and I told you the two words which are how and why. And why that is different, and why we need to remember these two words and understand the difference between these two words, why and how. Because if you don't understand that, this is what will cause us trouble. As I mentioned to you, what is the difference? The difference between how and why. Now, the difference between why and how is the fact that as I mentioned to you, why did you come to the masjid? To pray. How did you come to the masjid? For I drove here. Now, if you apply this in life, what happens and what were the people of Fir'aun doing? They refused to look at why are these things happening, right? Maybe they got involved in the how, and these were people who are scientifically capable and so on. So maybe they had people saying, okay, how can we stop this? But the issue here is, it's not a question of how, it's a question of why. So today we are living in a world where we are suffering from COVID. There are lots of people who are talking about how did COVID happen, but there's nobody's talking about why did COVID happen. The problem with the misuse, I mentioned to you earlier, the misuse of knowledge by using it in a different place. And that is when we try to answer the why questions with how knowledge. How is scientific knowledge? It's the knowledge of discovery. It's the knowledge of the accumulated wisdom of the ages. It's the knowledge which comes to us by using our technology, whatever is available to us. It tells us how things happen. Please understand this. It tells us how things happen. It does not tell us why things happen. For example, if you ask people, if you ask geologists, if you ask them this question, how do earthquakes happen? What will they tell you? They will tell you earthquakes happen because tectonic plates ride up on each other. So the earth shakes. Alright, so I asked you a question. What was the question? How do earthquakes happen? By the movement of tectonic plates one over the other. Now I'm asking you a different question, completely different question. What is that question? Why do earthquakes happen? What is the answer you will get? The movement of tectonic plates one over the other. That's exactly as illogical as me asking you, how did you come? I drove. Why did you come? I drove. I'm not asking you, how do earthquakes happen? I'm asking you, why do earthquakes happen? How will you answer the why question? You can only answer the why question in one way, and that is by asking the one who makes it happen. Why did it happen? Who's that? That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The knowledge of revelation, the knowledge of the kalam of Allah, the knowledge which is revealed to the anbiya, that knowledge is so critical and important for us, because the how will not relieve the problem. How will not relieve the problem? How only helps you to understand the mechanics of the problem. You want to affect the problem, you want to relieve the problem, you need to know why it is happening. And who will tell you? The Nabi will tell you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah Ar-Rum, زَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُزِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the fasad, the problems, the trials, the tribulations, the diseases that occur on the earth, on the sea, barri wal bahar, on the earth and the sea, on the water, bima kasabat aydinas, they are because of the deeds of people. They are because of the deed that's come out of the hands of people. Allah is not saying they're happening because of this or that geological phenomena or medical phenomena or some other. No. Those are all how things. We're talking about the why. Why do they happen? Because of the deeds of people. And why does Allah allow it to happen? How many times have you heard this word? Oh, but if there is a God, why is there suffering? Suffering is because of you. It's not because of there is a God or no God. Allah said, I allow it to happen. لِيُزِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Why is my hand paining? Because my mom slapped me. Why did my mom slap me? Because I was trying to put the hand into the fire. So what must I do to take away this pain? Not put ointment on it and again do the same thing, because you're again going to get slapped and again it will hurt, and you do that a third time, again you will get slapped, until one day your mom decides, all right, this is so dumb and stupid, let him put his hand in the fire. Now he's run away screaming. Whose fault is it? Why did that happen? Because you refuse to understand the why. You want to continue to remain stuck in the how. So let us see why things happen. In this beautiful hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma in Ibn Majah, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to us and he said, O Muhajirin, there are five things with which you will be tested, and I seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lest you live to see them. Yeah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that I seek the protection of Allah from these tests. But he said, you will be, and you is not only those people, he's talking about all the Muslims. The five things that you will be tested and I seek the protection of Allah from them. What are that? What are the five things? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, immorality never appears among a people to such an extent that they commit it openly, but plagues and diseases that were never known among their predecessors will spread among them. Let me repeat. Immorality never appears among a people to such an extent that they commit it openly. Not only do they commit immorality openly, they consider it to be their right to do that. We consider they commit it openly, but if they do that, what happens? Plagues and diseases, pandemics, COVID-19, hello? Plagues and diseases that were never known before them among their predecessors will spread among them. First one. Number two, they do not cheat in weights and measures. And weights and measures is not only if you are using a physical balance. You are not delivering what you said you will deliver. Your advertising is misleading. You are selling short. They do not cheat in weights and measures, but they will be stricken with famine, severe calamity, and oppression of their rulers. How many people are here today listening to this who want to complain about this ruler and that ruler and so on and so on? Ask yourself, why has Allah inflicted such rulers on us? So Allah is saying, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, second one is what? You do not cheat in weights and measures. You will not give people their due. So you get a ruler who will not give you your due. You do not cheat in weights and measures, but those people will be stricken with famine, with severe calamity, and the oppression of their rulers. Number three, they do not withhold the zakat of their wealth, meaning they will not pay zakat, but rain will be withheld from the sky. And were it not for the animals, rain would not fall on them at all. Number four, they do not break their covenant with Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which means that these are the people who will break the covenant. That these are the people, we said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We said, oh Allah, we worship only you and nobody other than you. And we follow Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What do? Salaamu Alaikum, Salaamu Alaikum. After that, we go and worship a grave. We go and make tawaf around somebody. We make tawaf around a man. We make tawaf around the grave. We put our head in sajda, on a grave or in front of a grave. Eh? In the salah, you stood and said, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, nobody but you. Alhamdulillah. Nobody but you. And outside, everybody but you. So Allah is saying here, Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, they break the covenant with Allah and His Messenger. They don't break the covenant, meaning that if they break the covenant, but Allah will enable their enemies to overpower them and take what is in their hands. We own this, we own that. Big historical stories. We were the rulers. What happened? What happened? Where did it go? Today we are sitting on, people are sitting on natural resources. And they think that their countries have great economies. No, their countries are bank accounts for somebody else. They can take from you whatever they want, whenever they want. And you know that and they know that. And the last one, unless their leaders rule according to the book of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, and they seek all good from that which Allah has revealed, Allah will cause them to fight one another. Constant conflict between countries. Constant conflict. Eternal war. Always fighting. Why? Because you do not want to rule by the book of Allah. What is the meaning of ruling by the book of Allah? It means the actual implementation of the kitab of Allah, of the rule of Allah in our lives. It means the establishment of justice. No injustice to anybody, no matter who that person might be. So in this hadith in Ibn Majah, narrated by Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, he said that Rasulullah turned to us and he said, O Muhajirin, there are five things with which you will be tested, and I seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lest you live to see them. The first one, immorality never appears among a people to such an extent that they commit it openly, but plagues and diseases that were never known among their predecessors will spread among them. Number two, they do not cheat in weights and measures, but they will be stricken with famine, severe calamity, and the oppression of their rulers. Number three, they do not withhold zakat of their wealth, but rain will be withheld from the sky. And were it not for the animals, rain would never fall on them. Number four, they do not break the covenant with Allah and His Messenger, but Allah will enable their enemies to overpower them and take some of what they have in their hands. And number five, unless their leaders rule according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek all good from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, Allah will cause them to fight one another. I seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this and from all calamities, and I seek refuge for myself from myself, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable me to do that which is pleasing to Him and save me from that which is not pleasing to Him. And I make the same dua for you. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.